All right, we are still in Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27. We looked at the first seven verses of this chapter last week. So tonight we'll begin at verse number 8. Proverbs 27 and verse number 8. As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. So the lesson there is you ought to know your place and stay in your place. Don't wander into somebody else's place. A young man ought to know his place when he's in the presence of an old man. Okay? That's the truth. The new converts ought to know their place when they're with an elder. Okay? People these days just don't have respect. And so this is another verse on that manners thing again. Keep your place. Not only that, but we all have a God-appointed place. And when you wander from that, it's just not natural. What am I talking about? Well, today you got men. Their natural place is to be a man. But we got men trying to become women. We got women trying to be men. We got adults that act like children. Children trying to, they think they're adults. We got white people pretending they're black and black people trying to turn white. Women put on pants. Men put on skirts. The list goes on. So we need to be content in the place where we belong. Verse number 9. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Okay. Well, both ointment and perfume send out a pleasing odor. Good friends who give good advice just make your life better. That's a simple lesson there in that verse. Good to have friends that'll give you advice. You'll take it from them. Verse 10, thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not, neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity. Something bad happens, that's calamity. For better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off. Okay, now there's a lot here, practical stuff. Some of it's painful. Some of it doesn't seem like it would be right to a New Testament Christian. But here's the idea. Saved or lost, independent Baptist or Presbyterian, fact is, friends are hard to come by. So don't lose one if you can keep one. All right? If you work with 10 unsaved people and without destroying your testimony, you can be friends with them. Why wouldn't you be friends with them? The Lord didn't say, go into all the world and make enemies of everyone that doesn't believe. All right. Now, the next step about forsaking your father's friend, your dad might be a businessman in town, for example. Your dad, he might be a handyman in town. He might not even be a Christian. If he's a Christian, maybe he's not as good a Christian as you are. Or maybe he's not as good as you think he ought to be. But you know something? One day you might grow up and have a son who needs a job. And so you know who's more likely to hire your son? Somebody that owes your dad a favor. Okay, so why would you burn that bridge for no reason? Keep those contacts. Your dad's friend, it's good contact to have. Okay, so anybody that's willing to have a relationship with you on friendly terms, let it be. It's a good thing. You don't have to, you know, categorize people, put everybody who's saved over here, everybody who's lost over here, and if you're lost, I'm not having anything to do with you. And well, that's not true. I mean, you don't walk into the grocery store and say, I'm not going to buy meat unless you have a good testimony of salvation. Are you Christian? No, we have dealings all the time with people who aren't Christians. So if you can be on friendly terms with friends of your family, that's a good thing to have. Now, the second half of the verse here, here's what he says. If you've got a brother, and that brother hasn't given you the time of day for the last 5 years, and you've got a next door neighbor that every time one or the other of you needed help, you were always there for each other. If you needed some help, next time you really need some help, I wouldn't count on that brother that hadn't had anything to do with you for 5 years. I'd go next door, go talk to that neighbor. Okay. You say, well, you think this verse here is talking about a brother in the flesh or a brother in the Lord? Either one, it works. Okay, what he's saying is you're going to need help in this life at some point in time. So take it where you can get it. Don't be too picky. You got a flat tire going down the road, pull over to change the tire. Somebody stops and says, you need some help? Well, I don't know. Are you saved? Yeah, I'm saved. Well, then are you a charismatic or a fundamental? Charismatic. Well, forget it. I don't want you helping me. Well, I guess you can heal my tire. All right. And then, of course, this verse will be especially applicable for those who will have to endure the tribulation period. A nearby neighbor is probably going to be able to assist that person more than a member of the family who's not there. All right, verse 11. My son, be wise, and make my heart glad, that I may answer him that reproacheth me. So what a father wants to do is say, well, I may not have anything else in this world, but I've got a son who loves me. Okay. Well, your heavenly father, he'd like you to walk in such a way that he also may answer him that reproacheth him. Who's that? That's the devil. He'd like to go up there to God like he did with Job in Job chapters 1 and 2. He'd love to have some real dirt on you to accuse you of. So you'll make the Lord glad if he can look that old devil in the face and be able to answer him like he did with Job. Okay, make him glad. Verse 12. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. So you don't have to take everything on. If you see a disease coming, try not to catch it. Do you see a wildfire heading your way? Don't stand there and wait for it. Okay? Don't go towards it. Just be careful. One day, somebody told you, if you died today, you'd go straight to hell and you'd be in torments forever and ever. And if you were prudent, you chose to hide yourself in the rock that was smitten for sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ. So now you're prepared. Not only that, but there's a terrible time coming on this earth called the Great Tribulation. But since you've received Christ as your Savior, because you were prudent, he's going to take you up to safety in that rapture where you can hide yourself until the trouble passes. Then you come back down with him. So that, I can see how that fits in there. See, verse 13. Take his garment that is surety for a stranger, and take a pledge of him for a strange woman. Okay? So if you get messed up with the wrong kind of woman, you get messed up in some kind of a shady, dishonest, possibly a business deal, you may as well just go ahead and give away your money and give them your clothes too. Because whatever you invested, you're not going to get it back. Okay, so we talked about that surety business before. Verse 14, he that blesseth his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it shall be counted a curse to him. Everybody's different. Everybody's different. I know that. Some people, when they wake up in the morning, they need about an hour and two cups of coffee before they're really fully functional. Other people, they wake up at 6 o'clock, and at 6 o'clock, they're ready to go. But somebody that has a hard time getting up, they don't want to hear from that guy that's up and ready to go. He might be yelling, "Praise the Lord, it's a beautiful day." Or he might be yelling nasty words, but to the guy that wants to, you know, slowly get up and take an hour and drink some coffee first, it both sounds the same. Okay, so I think what he's saying here is be considerate of other people. Just, you know, consider the other person. Everybody's not like you. And be understanding, be kind. Don't try to give someone a heart attack first thing in the morning. I've had plenty of experience in Marine Corps boot camp. You know how they wake you up there? That DI, the drill instructor, he comes in there while it's still dark into that squad bay. He tosses a metal trash can down the aisle. He flips on all the lights real bright, blows a whistle, and starts calling us all kinds of nasty names as loud as he can. Talk about giving you a heart attack. That's a shot in the heart right there. And you better believe there was 80 young men cursing that DI under their breath. Not to his face. All right, verse 15. Uh-oh. You know, God only needs to say something once, and it's eternal. But here it comes again. 15, a continual dropping in a very rainy day, and a contentious woman are alike. So you got a hole in your roof. It's leaking water. It's not a big hole. It's just enough to let a little bit of water in. And, you know, it runs down the rafters, through the ceiling. And, you know, honey, run over there and put a pan on the floor. Put that pan down there. Ping, ping. Ping, ping, not much, you know. Then another leak opens up over in another part of the ceiling, you know, and then you got ping, pang, ping, pang, ping, pang. Before long, you're not trying to listen to it, but you can't help but listen to it. It's like listening to a hacking preacher, you know. You don't want to listen to him while he's preaching, but you can't help it. You know, that's all you can hear. You can't hear the preaching. And so before long, it's this orchestra of pots and pans and banging, little bits of water dripping in those pans. And so here you got a wise man filled with the Holy Spirit. He's sitting there listening to that house leaking on a rainy day, and he looks over at his wife, and he looks over at those pots and pans, looks at his wife, and he looks at those pots and pans, and gets out his trusty pen, and he says, "I feel inspired," and he writes a verse of scripture. "What are you writing, honey?" "I'm writing about you in the Word of God." "Really? What did you say? You're driving me nuts." Yeah. Drip, drip, drip. Okay, verse 16. "Whosoever hideth her," still talking about that contentious woman, "whosoever hideth her, hideth the wind." They used to only name hurricanes after women. And then they had all this politically correct stuff, and now some of those hurricanes are named after men. But they're still called hurricanes until some woman makes them call them himicanes. What are you doing? I'm putting up a concrete barrier. For what? To block the wind. Are you expecting a storm? No, I heard you were coming home. Yeah, it's not good. It's never good when you get verses like this. It says, and the ointment of his right hand, which bewrayeth itself. Okay, bewrayeth, it reveals itself. It's obvious. Okay, you can't hide a contentious woman any more than you can hide somebody who's wearing some strong perfume. Okay, you might go to the mall and you're just going in there real quick to get some eye drops from the pharmacy. You're walking through the mall and one of those perfume sellers pounces on you and sprays your right hand before you know what happened. Well, when you get home, you're not going to be able to hide that smell, and your wife's going to wonder where you've really been. And so if your wife is contentious, you know, that means she's always arguing, she's always quarreling. That's not going to be a secret to anybody. She can't keep that a secret. Your neighbors are going to know it. Your family will know it. Complete strangers, they're going to keep their distance. In fact, it'll cost you those relationships that are most important to you, because you might have to put up with it since you're married to her, but they don't. They don't have to. So they're just going to avoid the husband so they don't have to feel uncomfortable around the wife. But the point is, if you've got a wife who's a fighter, it's not a secret. Verse 17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance, the appearance of his friend. Okay? It's good for you to challenge each other, to motivate each other, to encourage each other. You will have an influence on your friends. Every man, every woman affects someone. Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. If you spend a lot of time with someone, you are going to be affected by their talk, their mannerisms, their philosophy, their attitude. You'll start kind of looking the same a little bit. And when you think about that, you ought to realize what a great responsibility it is to make sure that you're not passing on your bad habits and your bad attitudes. Jesus said, if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. So keep your eyes open and consider who's following you and who's being affected by you, trying to be like you. All right. Verse 18, whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. Okay. What you work for, you get to eat of it. Okay, so see, the Bible never supports or encourages communism or socialism. It's your fig tree. You planted it. You tended it. You watered it. You fertilized it. So guess what? You get the figs. You get the fruit. Now, you're not supposed to take half of your figs and give them to somebody that didn't do anything. And then it says, so he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. Okay, so that'll be fruitful for you. It's still talking about you do the work, you get something from it. It'll be fruitful for you. It'll be a good thing for you to work hard. And of course, another application, the one who serves the Lord Jesus Christ will be honored of the Father. Bible says so. Jesus said in John 12:26, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Verse 19. As in water, face answereth to face. Okay, so you've got a clear pool of water. You're looking down in that water. You can see your own face. It's so clear, like a mirror. Face answereth to face. So the heart of man to man. Okay, you can tell a lot about yourself by looking at other people. Okay, that's Romans chapter 2. You find fault with somebody because you recognize the fault that you see in them, because you got the same fault, like a mirror. Okay, you're looking at yourself. And the Bible says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Nothing has crossed your path that hasn't crossed the path of another man. The heart of man answers to man. What you see in another man, you'll find it in yourself. So if you're looking at someone's heart and you're expecting to find good, that's really not a good place to look, in the heart, because Jeremiah 17:9 says the heart is what? Deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Okay, the heart, until it's purified by faith in Jesus Christ, that heart, that's the source of every problem in this world. And that's why Proverbs 4:23 told us to keep thy heart with diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And to prove this, Solomon goes on in the next verse, verse 20. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. So, and so, because of that, man invented a holiday called Christmas, a holiday that exploits, that takes advantage of the fact that the eyes of man are never satisfied. I need more. I need more. I want that. I want that. Okay, let's talk to the gentleman here first. Then we'll talk to the ladies. Gentlemen, you have to understand that if you marry the most beautiful woman on the face of this earth and you love her with all your heart, still your eyes will refuse to only look at her. That's just the truth. You must order those eyes to stay in your head, to stay where they belong. I mean, it's stupid. It's ignorant. It's hurtful. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. It's a shame that a man cannot be satisfied. I don't care what you're driving, what you're living in, what you bought and put in your garage, what you pull behind your truck, what you float in that water. Your eyes will always see something else that you've got to have that you think will satisfy you tomorrow, to supercharge that, to rebuild it, to upgrade it. Okay? You're just not going to be satisfied with anything you see with your eyes. You're only going to find satisfaction in your heart in Jesus Christ. And if you find it there, then it'll work its way out, and you can be satisfied with whatever else you have or you don't have. But you got to find satisfaction in the Lord in your heart. It's the only thing that takes care of that problem. And then, ladies, there's nothing in that mall, nothing in that department store, nothing in that garage. We call it a flea market in the U.S. Nothing in the plant store. Some ladies, they fill their house with more and more plants every week. Never get enough. Nothing at the garage sale. I guess here, I guess that it'd be an expat sale. You know, we're leaving Kuwait. Come buy all my junk. None of that stuff is absolutely necessary. Sister, the longing in your heart is not going to be satisfied by a pair of shoes. It's not going to be satisfied by changing your hairstyle. It's only going to come through a right relationship with Jesus Christ. And if that's right, everything else will be fine. If it's not right, it's not going to be fine. And that's the trouble with people. They're trying to find satisfaction through the sight of their eyes and not through a spiritual relationship with God. And so they're going to spend themselves right into the poorhouse trying to find happiness that their grandparents had because they were saved. That's why. In America, you know what's different about a house that was built in 1950 and a house that's built today, that older house didn't have closets. If you go in an old house, there's no closets in any room. Well, today you couldn't sell a house in America without a closet. But people in those old days, they didn't have closets because they didn't need closets. They had one pair of work shoes and one pair of going out shoes. They didn't have a different pair of shoes to match all their different outfits. They didn't have all those different outfits. They didn't have the red coat to go with the red shoes to match that outfit. You know, we got so much stuff now, and we're still not happy, not satisfied. Can't be happy. So you've got to learn to be satisfied with God and not try to be satisfied from the sight of your eyes. No matter how many people you throw in hell, hell wants more people. And no matter what you put your eyes on, your eyes are always going to want more. That's just the way it is. Verse 21, as the fining pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. Okay, so again, let God burn away what is worthless. Let God consume out of your life what's not any good. And then you'll have a praiseworthy life, a silver and gold kind of life. And how's God going to do that, according to this verse? Well, as furnaces of fire and refiner's pots refine silver and gold to sort out the good from the bad, separate those things. Well, in the same way, praise is going to test a man and reveal what's good, what good is in him, if there's any at all. 22, though thou shouldest bray, that means to pound, to beat, to grind it real small, bray, a fool, pound that fool in a mortar. You know what a mortar is? It's a stone bowl. So you got the stone bowl, you put the fool in there. Among wheat with a pestle. Pestle's that little stone club that you pound in the stone bowl to make things crushed and small. Okay? That's the pestle. So you take a fool, you beat him to powder. Yet will not his foolishness depart from him. Okay, so you can't beat sense into a fool. The fool can't be separated from the dross that's in him, even if you put him in the mortar and you pound him silly with a pestle. He's got to be born again. He's got to get the Holy Spirit. 23, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds. Okay, so one lesson there is never just assume that everything's okay. Okay, be diligent. Know the state. Okay, never assume. Check it. Investigate. Make sure before you make a move. Find out. You know, how many people have you seen, or at least if you're American, you've seen it. The wife says, oh, I thought we had money in the bank when I wrote that check. Well, did you check before you wrote it? Did you balance it out and see? Okay, never assume. You better know. You know, I thought you made that appointment. And then what we see last Friday, I thought Jesus was with you when we left Jerusalem. Never assume. Know the state. Okay. Well, I didn't think the Lord would come today. Never assume. Be prepared. Be sure. Verse 24, that connects the verse. So all the rest of these verses are in the same context. For riches are not forever, and doth the crown endure to every generation? Okay, so when we connect this verse to verse 23, you can actually apply this to a Christian pastor. Okay, he ought to know the state of his flock, not just as a lot of pastors, just they know how many people are in the flock, but They don't know the spiritual and physical, emotional condition of their flock. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 4 says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre," you're not just doing it for money, "but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd," that's the Lord Jesus Christ, "shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Okay, the chief shepherd, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So this has reference to the judgment seat of Christ. The pastor, he's earning a crown of glory based upon his oversight of the flock that God's put in his care. Worldly riches are not forever, it says, but there are treasures that won't be burned. You know, gold, silver, precious stones that will survive the fires of test the quality of your works. Verse 25, still in the context, "The hay appeareth, and the tender grass showeth itself, and herbs of the mountains are gathered. The lambs are for thy clothing, and the goats are the price of the field. And thou shalt have goat's milk enough for the food of thy household, and for the maintenance of thy maidens." Okay, so still talking about the shepherd tending his flock, a pastor caring for the people of a local church. And the lesson here is, when a man feeds the lambs, they feed him. What did Jesus tell Peter in John 21? "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep." In 1 Corinthians 9, Paul said, "For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for the oxen?" He said, "If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things?" That's 1 Corinthians 9, 9 and 11. Okay, so if you're a good husbandman, you're a farmer, take care of that farm, the animals, you're going to tend to your land as well as tend to your flock. So applying that to the ministry, if you tend to your work in the field, okay, that could be referring to visitation, soul winning, stuff you do outside of the church, okay, working in the field, as well as your ministry to the local church, okay, you'll bear fruit. You'll have the needs of your own the needs of your own congregation and the needs of your own family taken care of. The Bible says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus," in Philippians 4:19. So we'll stop there. We got three missionary letters we need to look at, so let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much again for the study in your word. And we pray, Lord, that now you would help us to lift up our prayers to you and our thanksgiving to be thoughtful of those who still have needs and lift them up to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.